This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm glad you joined me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Do You Wish Your Kids Ate Better? It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making family-friendly mealtime fun and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got a great show for you today, so grab your pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. You're in for a real treat on today's show. My guest today is registered dietitian and nutritionist Toby Amador. We met Toby at a recent dietitian symposium and were amazed at her recipes and her simple approach to cooking healthy meals. Toby believes that healthy and wholesome can also be appetizing and delicious, and I completely agree. In her new book, The Greek Yogurt Kitchen, she shows readers how to cut back on fat and calories without compromising flavor. Greek yogurt is one of today's most versatile and nourishing ingredients, and Toby's going to talk to us about how it can be used in unexpected ways, making even the most bad-for-you foods healthier, tastier, and more satisfying. And she has so many great cooking ideas. I'm really excited to find out what surprises she has in store for us today, and I know you're going to want to make sure that you've got something to take notes with. Welcome to the show, Toby.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I'm really excited about today's conversation because I think there's so much confusion about yogurt, and really, I've started using Greek yogurt a lot more, and I love looking at the pictures and all the recipes in your book, so I'm excited for you to be able to share more about that today. But as we get started, can you tell our listeners just a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a registered dietitian and nutritionist?
Oh, absolutely. So I actually went to New York University down in New York, and I studied I got my master's degree in clinical nutrition and dietetics. And while I was doing that, I took specific classes to become, and then the really big exam and a one-year internship to become a registered dietitian, and now the title is actually registered dietitian nutritionist by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
Interesting. When you went to and did your training, what really, I always love people asking people this, what really drew you in or surprised you the most about what you were learning?
It's funny because I went to school with my mother, so we graduated together, which I don't think you knew. Actually sat in classes together, but she had five kids and could never lose weight and was struggling with all the diet, you know, plans back in the, you know, 80s. And, you know, once she started taking classes and she was so excited about it, and I was, like, looking at all her materials, and then I took a couple classes, and I became excited about it. Kind of one thing led to another, and so that really is what drew me in.
How interesting. That must have been quite an experience going to school with your mom.
Yeah, we have a picture with the class, with the, like, mascot of NYU somewhere. I have to dig it up.
How funny. You know, you talk with a lot of people about eating more healthily. In your experience, is there one group or demographic that has the most difficulty in changing the way they eat?
Well, you know, I've worked with a lot of different demographics from my mother actually is in private practice in the Bronx. So it's a primarily Spanish-speaking and, you know, a lot of Spanish and delicious food. So it's a lot different than other populations throughout the country, you know. So I've worked with many different ones, and everybody has their own, I call them barriers to change. So everyone has an issue of why they can't change or what's making it more difficult for them to eat healthier. And so sometimes it could be money. Sometimes it could be that there's a lot of kids running around. Sometimes it could be less access to some of the healthy foods. And that's why in my cookbook, I really tried to make them easy to find ingredients that you don't have to get some specialty store and drive super far to find them. Or, you know, sometimes you have to go to 6 different stores to find the ingredients you need. And I really didn't want to have that. I wanted it really to make it accessible for as many people as possible.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because as I was looking through your recipes, and I was looking through them as I was getting ready for our conversation, and they really are things that most people would have in the house, or I can go to the grocery store and very easily get them. They aren't unusual ingredients. They aren't things that you wouldn't normally buy, which I love, because it just makes it so much easier to be able to plan ahead and shop. And I also love all the tips that you give in the book, you know, how to store things, how to use them, just some statistics. It really makes it very interesting to read.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I call them my Toby tips. So a lot of times, even me saying to rinse in the instructions, or even, you know, it says get a can of beans and low sodium, but rinse them. The reason that there's always a reason why I'm telling people to do something, and that's because studies have found that you can reduce the sodium an additional 40% or just 40% if you rinse your beans. So, you know, it's just simple tips like that, or how to thaw something out for food safety, because I'm a huge food safety advocate. And it's just small things to do in the kitchen to keep you and your family and your loved ones healthy. And so I like to throw those aha kind of tips. Oh, yes, let me do that. It's so easy for me to do. And I threw them in through the book, because that's how in my writing, I write for many national publications. And in my writing, it's exactly what I do as well.
And I love that. I mean, I'm looking at one, and it's to store fresh parsley, wrap it in a paper towel, and place it in a resealable plastic bag and refrigerate it up to 7 days. Because I know I go to the store, I leave it in the bag that I bought it in, and in a couple days, it's no good. So just little things like that that can really, you know, get your food to last longer and really stay fresher.
Right, absolutely. And yeah, I see that tip with the lentil soup. It's on that page. Yeah, I just find those are just little tips that I've always thrown into either, you know, when I teach or when I counsel or when I write. And those are just things people do every single day. And one of the things that really bugs me is the food waste also. So if I can get your food just by giving you a simple tip to last a little longer, you know, stretch your dollar a little more, make your life easier with healthy food, you know, that's really what I've accomplished my goal.
No, absolutely. And I know the thing that I loved when you were doing your presentation at the conference we met you at, when one of the things that I wrote down when you were talking about cinnamon, because you were talking about using whole cinnamon at the beginning of a recipe because it impacts differently with what you're making, and then use ground cinnamon at the end. Maybe you can share a little bit about that, just because I hadn't thought about using, you know, whole versus ground and when you would use them and how those impact flavors, but that's one of the things that you do so well.
Yeah, so I taught cooking at a culinary school. I taught nutritional cooking for many, many years, I think over 10 years. And so there were just some little tips I would give the chefs, and one of them was using whole spices versus ground. And since they're ground, you want to always add them towards the end of the cooking process because they'll lose their flavor. As opposed to something like a whole cinnamon stick, if you're going to cook something like an oatmeal with it, let's say, put it in the beginning and the flavors actually are more slowly released.
So I love that.
Yeah, so that's really what you want to do. And I always love it because if you make a small bowl, you can, you know, break the cinnamon stick in half and, you know, you can gauge it by how much you're making.
I love that. It's because it really what it does is it gets us to think a little bit differently about how we create flavor in our foods. And I think that's one thing that your recipes do so well is be able to have flavorful recipes without having to use a lot of ingredients that might not be healthy, but really pulling out the flavors of the things that you're using.
Right, and that's exactly what I wanted to do, especially when you're talking about herbs or spices, like something like cinnamon. A lot of people don't realize that actually they have compounds inside of it that work as antioxidants. So not only are you getting a much, much lower calorie flavor enhancer, you're also getting some health value and nutritional value from those spices, which a lot of people don't realize. And that's why it's important. You don't want to store them over, you know, the 1 to 2 years, and you need to store them in a cool, dry place. And so that's why those storage guidelines are so important, so you can maintain the integrity of the nutrients and the health benefits that it comes with them.
I love that. I love that. And I think people can eat more healthfully if they learn some of these tips. And one of the things that I love about the way you do it is you make it simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. And that's why I love having these conversations each week, because people get overwhelmed with all the information and then they figure they can't do it. So just go grab and go and eat, you know, eat out instead of doing it at home. And if they would learn some of these things, they'd have fun and they'd eat much better.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And let me tell you, if someone's starting to talk even nutrition that's too complicated, I start tuning out. I don't want to listen to them anymore. So I do it the way I want to learn, and I do things. And so I figure, you know, if it works for me, hopefully it works for many, many others.
Absolutely. And before we take our first break, I'd love to ask you, of all my guests, and you talked a little bit about going to school with your mom, but what motivates you to live a healthy life and share your message with others? We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live a healthier life?
I think first I love what I do. But the second thing is there's so much confusion and misinformation out there by non-credentialed people who really have not been in the classroom to study, been hands-on in the hospital to understand even, you know, the medical background of everything. And it just drives me really insane that they're disseminating information that really shouldn't be disseminated, that could be potentially dangerous for people. And then it confuses people and they don't know what to do. And maybe they start following things that they shouldn't be following because it's potentially dangerous to them or to their children. And so I really want to get through a lot of that information, that misinformation, and provide simple, easy to use, you know, aha, oh, I can do it. This is easy. I don't have to go crazy with some crazy diet.
I love that. And I love the fact that your recipes really are things that we're all familiar with. They're not unusual. And the recipes are so simple and really, in many cases, a complete meal. So we're going to go ahead and take a real short break. But when we come back, I want to have you share a little bit about the Greek Yogurt Kitchen, your book, and talk a little bit about what, you know, made you decide to write that book. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Toby Amador, the author of The Greek Yogurt Kitchen. And I'd love to ask you, Toby, why did you decide to write a book on Greek yogurt?
I actually wrote, before The Greek Yogurt Kitchen, I wrote a college-level chapter on milk and dairy. And I really just enjoy milk and dairy in general. When I was growing up, some of my family members in Israel owned some dairy farms, and then my parents down in New York City owned a cheese store. So I grew up on dairy, and so I was given the opportunity to write a cookbook on Greek yogurt, and it's something that I've always loved since my son. If you read the beginning of the book, it shows you the minute I tasted, the first time I ever tasted Greek yogurt was after I gave birth to my son in 2002. And I love at first bite. Mm-hmm. So that kind of is what did it. And then after I just was snacking on it, I'm like, wait a second, I can throw this in smoothies and it'll make it a lot frothier and tastier. And I can do this with that and I can do that with that. And it kind of one thing turned to another. And I wanted to showcase the versatility of Greek yogurt to everybody who's buying it all the time, because it's, you look at the grocery store shelves, you it's like you can't even see the ends of the aisle anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's got so many uses. I know that I use it now. I mean, I don't even buy sour cream anymore. I haven't been using mayonnaise. I've been really using it and trying to learn new ways to use it in the things that I do. And I know we see Greek yogurt in magazines or we hear about it on TV. Can you help? Because I think one of the things, there's so much confusion. So what makes Greek yogurt different from the flavored yogurts that, you know, some of us may have had as a child, or we see a lot of different things out there. So what's so different about it?
Well, first of all, Greek yogurt, it's funny. It's not technically from Greece. It's just a strained yogurt. We've seen strained yogurt for centuries. I mean, Africa had strained yogurt, and the Balkans had strained yogurt. So it just got coined the term Greek yogurt. Definitely Greece has strained yogurt too, but it's not, you know, specifically from Greece. But it's strained, and so when you strain it, you have some liquid that comes off of it. And so when that liquid comes off, so does sodium, sugar, and then the protein's actually maintained there inside the yogurt. So then Greek yogurt, once it's strained, has about 40% less sodium and sugar, each of them, and it has about twice the amount of protein as your traditional yogurt. And because it's a little bit thicker, it works really nicely as opposed to traditional yogurt. I loved it when I was little. It was very watery, but that's the characteristic of it. So the thicker Greek yogurt works a little bit nicer when you want to make dips or smoothies or use it, you know, in baked goods. So it just, the consistency works a little bit better.
So what is your favorite use of Greek yogurt?
I'm a huge chocolate fan, so I have a double chocolate chip cookie recipe. And what I do is I replace half a stick of butter with Greek yogurt. And so it cuts about 200 calories right there for the whole batch. So it makes each cookie, I think I have each cookie is less than 100 calories, and they're very nice and moist and delicious, so you don't really need to eat 10 of them at all. Even 5 of them would give you a bellyache. So you only need one or two, and you're good to go.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I don't think people realize that the more flavorful your food is, the richer the consistency, the less of it you actually need. I think people are eating more of foods because they're not getting that satisfaction and that richness that they get from really good, high-quality food.
No, I absolutely agree with that. I even have something called trail mix cookies. And so in the trail mix cookies, I use a lot of times a whole wheat pastry flour. So I'll use that to add some whole grains in there. But in the trail mix cookies, I also have some rolled oats, raisins, sunflower seeds. And so I'm adding not just, you know, flavor, but these all have fiber. And so they help fill you up. So with that, you really can't have more than a cookie or two. And again, they're all less than about 100 calories a cookie. You'll feel very full and satisfied just after eating something like that. And you're getting the nutrients from all the, you know, good-for-you stuff that are in there.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting with the rolled oats. I actually just started using a little bit and taking them and grinding it to a real fine powder and using it in smoothies, because what I find is when I do that, it really sticks with me longer. It really makes me feel fuller.
Yeah, I actually have one with oats as well. It's a peach oaty smoothie. And what I do is I put the oats first and I reconstitute it with some 100% peach nectar.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what makes it soft before you grind it. And then you mix it with, you know, a few other ingredients, not many, about 4 or 5 other ingredients. And then you blend it and it comes out to like such a delicious oat and peach and vanilla extract smoothie.
I saw that recipe. I'm going to have to, I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to have to try that because I saw that when I was looking through that this morning. And I'm always looking for, you know, new healthy smoothie recipes.
Especially it's peach season now, so.
Absolutely. And I love when you can get things that are in season to, you know, to put into your recipes because it makes it so much, it makes it fun and it gives you some great flavor variety.
And if you have extra, because it's peach season, so if you go either peach picking or if you buy a few extra peaches at the farmer's market, now you're like, okay, I don't have to let them spoil. Let me cut them up, put them in the freezer, and then use them for smoothie.
Well, that's a great idea. You know, I always forget about cutting them up and sticking them in the freezer. And so I need to remember to do that. I really need to get in the habit of doing that.
See, that's the Toby tip.
Yep, it is. You know, and I suspect that, like many products, when people go to the supermarket and they're shopping, that not all Greek yogurts are created equal. So what should you look for on the label when purchasing Greek yogurt?
Well, one of the things that's really important to remember is any Greek yogurt or even yogurt that you're going to pick up has lactose, which is a dairy sugar. So every single one will have sugar. The problem is you really have to watch for the added sugar, and that comes with if you have a honey flavor or have an added fruit flavor, that they're adding the sweetness from an added sugar in addition to your lactose or cow's milk sugar. So what you want to look for, I gave the guideline of no more than 20 grams of sugar on the label. That's more of a dessert. But you can compare labels if you want less than that. You know, the less the better, really. And if you want to look at baseline, how much is in Greek yogurt or just traditional yogurt, just look at a non-flavored, a plain unflavored yogurt, and then you'll have a base to start with. And that's why I think it's so important. You know, everyone's so confused about natural and added sugar. Like any dairy product will have the natural sugar in it, and that's okay because something like milk with natural sugar also comes with 11 essential vitamins and minerals. And so, you know, it balances out kind of you're having a little sugar for sweetness there. That's fine because you're getting a boatload of nutrients in there as well. And so, you know, that's why it's really important to, like, the FDA is now determining if they're going to parse out added sugars from, you know, the sugar category, which I think would be nice.
I think that would certainly help people understand what they're doing. And it's so funny that you talked about that because I had actually marked that I wanted to talk about that under the sugar content. Because you say in the book, as a general rule of thumb, choose Greek yogurt varieties that list 20 grams of sugar or less on the nutrition label. Once it exceeds 3 teaspoons of added sugar, it kind of becomes dessert. And I think that's something for people to remember. That really shifted, that got me thinking differently about the choices that I make, because when it gets to a certain amount of sugar, it really should be considered a dessert, no matter what the food is.
Right, but then you have to remember you're still having some yogurt, so you're leaving your sugar for dessert, but it's still coming with a little bit of new, you know, with the dairy, it still counts, which is even better than just having a cookie or, you know, a piece of cake from wherever, a store or whatnot, with a lot of empty calories and not much else in it. So I would rather someone have something like a little bit of extra sugar but with yogurt for dessert than just some junky food for dessert.
Absolutely. And you know, right under where you're talking about the sugar content, you're also talking about the thickening process, which I didn't realize that they were, you know, thickened with different types of agents. So can you just give us just a simple explanation of that so people know what to look for when they're actually choosing their yogurts?
Well, it's some brands, and this is, again, I don't actually say which one you should choose because I like to educate and you make your decision overall. Because having Greek yogurt in general, to me, is healthier than a lot of other options. But some of the companies will style, will thicken their yogurt with traditional machines, which are very pricey, and they take a lot of time to do, so they're actually straining the yogurt, and that, you know, that takes a lot more time and money. And so they might be a little bit more expensive on the shelves to consumers, while other companies will actually use an additive, and it's a thickening agent, and you can actually see those names. It's probably the names you don't recognize because they come in different names in the ingredient list. And so, again, if that's up to you if you want to decide to have something without those additives or with them, you know. So that's basically the differentiation. And a lot of people don't realize that some companies just use some additives to do the thickening.
Mm-hmm. No, I had no idea. I thought that it was, I thought they were all the same. So that was interesting to learn that they are done differently. So again, it's part of reading the labels. It's part of understanding what you're eating and then making a choice and making those trade-offs.
Right. Because no one's diet is going to be perfect. So if your little thing is to have, I don't know, is to have a little bit of artificial sweetener once a week in some food that you like, that's your thing. But you know what you're doing, and you're balancing it out with something else that maybe you're not having, I don't know, some other food in your diet. Or you're cutting out other foods that might be not so good for you. So it's all kind of like a balancing game what you do, and nothing that you're overdoing either. Like if you're going to have everything with, let's say, artificial sweetener or a lot of, I don't know, a lot of added ingredients and thickening agents and like in every single food you eat, I mean, that's not the most healthful thing either. So once you're educated, you can kind of, you know, make your own roadmap to how you want to eat healthfully.
Absolutely, and then make those trade-offs. We're going to take another real quick break, and when we come back, I'd love to have you share some of the health benefits of eating Greek yogurt. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Toby Amador, the author of The Greek Yogurt Kitchen. And before the break, we were talking about sugar in yogurt and really in how to read the label and understanding some of the things that you're getting when you're choosing Greek yogurt. And I'd like to ask you, Toby, if you could share just some of the health benefits of eating Greek yogurt.
Well, there are a lot of health benefits that I go through in my book, and I actually give studies to back it up. One of the biggest ones is the probiotics, and a lot of yogurts have live and active cultures. Not all of them are necessarily probiotics, but there are a tremendous amount, though, of brands that do sell that their yogurts contain the probiotics that are really good for the digestive health. And one of the other things that Greek yogurt I like to promote is it has a lower lactose level. So compared to traditional yogurt, which has 13 grams per cup, Greek yogurt for the same amount has about 4 grams, it's per half a cup, so it has only 4 grams of lactose. So someone with lactose intolerance, you know, if they're looking to up their dairy, which it is recommended that someone with lactose intolerance do keep in dairy in their diet, that they can have Greek yogurt, and it's a good way to start incorporating dairy at low levels of lactose.
You know, that's actually interesting. I didn't know that, and I have a sensitivity to lactose and milk products, but yet the Greek yogurt doesn't bother me, which is probably one of the reasons I use more of it. But I didn't realize that there was such a difference.
Yeah, there's actually a marked difference between traditional and Greek yogurt in terms of the level of lactose. Another thing is, they're big organizations, and they've actually done studies and recommended that those with even dietary guidelines, those with lactose intolerance, are recommended to keep with the 3 recommended servings of dairy every day, just because it's so nutrient dense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's something that's really important. It's also a lot of people lactose intolerance don't realize you don't want to start, like, drinking cups of milk. That's not going to do you good. But you want to include it small amounts at a time, like shredded cheese over something or a small amount of Greek yogurt, and kind of build your way up. And the studies show that about 1 cup at a time is the max usually that's tolerated. But also when you mix it, like, in a smoothie with other foods, that slows the digestion down so your body has time to work on the lactose. And that's another trick for those with lactose intolerance who want to incorporate dairy foods like yogurt, have it together with something else.
Interesting. And so that's why it's so important to talk to someone like yourself, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, because, you know, when you go to the doctor and they tell you you're lactose intolerant or you really, you know, you shouldn't, that's part of what may be causing some stomach or digestive issues. They don't really give you options of things you can do. They just say you can't have it. So
That's where I see nuts. If it bothers you, don't have it. But what about testing for it? You should really they really need to know, and I've been doing a lot of education about this. You need to get tested, and there's 2 tests. One's just a blood test, and one actually is like you breathe into a tube, and it can tell if you have lactose intolerance. So they're easy tests. You have to check with your doctor if the tests are covered by insurance, but you can actually get diagnosed for it, which is the best way to do it instead of just eliminating a complete food group, which tastes amazing. So that drives me crazy.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I'm learning a lot more about it because I know that I was using some whey protein in my smoothies, and I was having all sorts of issues. And, you know, you realize there's milk products in a lot of different foods that people don't talk about it until you really start reading the ingredients and learning more about some of these things. It's really been interesting for me.
Yeah, no, I think the whole, you know, it was a nice website to get some of that information, especially if you have a food allergy, if you want to know all the names, it gets crazy. Like, there are even hidden ingredients in foods that you would never associate with certain, you know, allergens. But the FARE, F-A-R-E website does a wonderful job. And then their food allergy education website, which is a nonprofit, and they give amazing information. So that's a good resource for anybody.
Oh, that's a great, I hadn't heard of that. That's a great resource, so thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
You know, at the dietitian symposium where we first met, you talked about using Greek yogurt to lighten up dishes. So can you share a little bit more about that?
Sure. So a lot of times it's funny because you mentioned using, like, you don't use sour cream and you like to use Greek yogurt in lieu of it 100%. I actually come from the philosophy, I like the taste of my mayo. I just don't want so much of it. So mm-hmm. I like the 50-50. So you could do it your way. Like, again, it's mm-hmm. a personal preference. Or you could do it, I like to do a 50-50. So I'll do 50% of probably reduced fat mayo is what I like to use, and then 50% of either a non-fat or a reduced fat Greek yogurt. And so you can actually, it carries the flavor of a lot of these foods, so you can still taste the sour cream and the mayo. It's just not drowning your food. Like, you know, when you have a pasta salad and it's more sauce than pasta, you're like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. I can't taste my food. So I don't like that. So I use a small amount, and I'll use a 50-50 combination of either, you know, the mayo or the sour cream or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps me.
Yeah, I've also been experimenting with some fresh herbs from the garden. That's another thing we've been doing is growing the fresh herbs, which I love, and using that with the Greek yogurt because it really picks up the flavor.
Mm-hmm. That's some other things that I do. So instead of just putting a dollop of yogurt on, let's say, lentil soup, I'll use some fresh herbs, chop it in there, or sometimes even I have a salad parfait where I use a combination of herbs. And finally chop like a nice dose of them, and then I'll mix it in with the Greek yogurt, and it gives it such a delicious, fresh flavor. I agree with you. It's, you know what else works really nicely?
Hmm.
Zest of citrus fruits, lime zest, lemon zest, orange zest, and, you know, you can use each one and create such a delicious flavor combined with the yogurt.
Huh, I hadn't tried that. I'll have to check that one out.
Mm-hmm. The lime zest works really nicely when you use it for Mexican dishes.
Oh, and I've got a lime tree, so that's perfect.
There you go.
I could just walk in the backyard and check that one out.
Send some my way. I like fresh limes.
Can you share, do you have any general rules or guidelines that our listeners can follow when they're using Greek yogurt in their cooking? I know you shared a couple things, but any other tips, ideas, suggestions on using it?
One of the things, I do have a substitution chart that I have in my book. So there's a full chart there with a whole variety, like cream cheese, sour cream, heavy cream, butter, buttermilk, I mean, even oil you could substitute Greek yogurt for. But one of the other things, if you use it on stovetop, a lot of people, if you use it on high heat, you can actually burn the milk. You know, milk doesn't really hold to high heat. So mm-hmm. you'll notice in some of my recipes, I'll add always the Greek yogurt to thicken at the end, and I'll say close the flame or make it super low and take it off the flame, wait a minute or two, and now mix in your Greek yogurt. Or I'll have the yogurt tempered because the yogurt is very cold and, you know, whatever you're cooking is hot. And so what I'll have you do is, in the instructions, I say just pour like a half a cup of whatever liquid is there that's hot to warm up your dairy. And so you can then mix it much easier to get in there. So that's another thing when cooking with Greek yogurt you have to be careful about.
Oh, that's a great tip. That's I hadn't thought about that with the heat, but yeah, you wouldn't want to put it in at the beginning and then it's not going to turn out well.
Yeah, you have to be careful, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you've got also in your book where you're talking about snacking for health, and I love some of the things that you ask, because you're asking people, is it, you know, a snack or is it a treat? You know, and really getting people to pay attention to, are their snacks carb loaded, and being aware of the protein. What can people do to really start being more aware of the choices that they're making?
Well, first of all, you need to look at your entire schedule and see how many meals and how many snacks, because I think we've been called a snack nation at this point in time. And so your snacks really are, to me, I call them mini meals. So there shouldn't be like the olden days when I was a young girl. It was like, okay, go to the machine and grab a candy bar. That's not a snack. A snack to me is something that gives you the nutrients your body needs to survive and to be healthy and to grow and to, you know, maintain itself. And so that's really a lot of these questions. So I posed 7 questions about thinking about, you know, what are your snacks? When are you eating them? How are they composed? Because, you know, if you're eating all carbs, that's not good either. You do want to have some sort of combination. Is it a whole grain carb to keep you fuller? Does it have some protein or healthy fat that actually increases satiety value so it can hold you over till your next meal? And so that's really what I was looking at. Are your portions okay? Because if you start going in massive portions, then your calories for your snack will start going over, you know, 400, 500, 600 calories, and that's really a meal, and you don't want to have empty calories as a meal. So those are some things that I try to remind people of when they read through all the questions that I was asking.
I really like that, because what you're doing is you're giving great recipes in your book, but you're also talking about different things. You're talking about bone health. You're talking about diabetes, lactose intolerance, some of the things we've talked about, and really helping to educate people on the health benefits of, you know, of eating Greek yogurt, but also in thinking differently about the choices that they're making.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to do. I even came up with, you know, some cute ways to dress up your own Greek yogurt. You know, it kind of gets boring. You open your cup and then you eat it, but there's so many fun ways to dress it up to make it into a healthful snack. I even listed the calories. Everything's below 250 calories, which if somebody is like a woman trying to lose weight, we recommend, like I recommend usually about 125, 150 calories, up to gentlemen, you know, could have up to 250 calories for a snack. So it really depends on who you are. So that's why I have a variety of calories there. But I have some, you know, apples and peanut butter, throw in your Greek yogurt with a touch of honey, or do it more like peanut butter and jelly, where you can stir in your favorite nut butter and a little bit of a jam.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lemon meringue, I love that one, where you have a little bit of your wafers for the crunch, a lemon Greek yogurt, and then just a little bit of chopped pecans.
Oh, I like that, because I love crunchy foods. We're going to go ahead and take our final break. And when we come back, I'd love to have you share a couple of your favorite recipes out of the Greek Yogurt Kitchen cookbook. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Toby Amador, the author of The Greek Yogurt Kitchen, and we've been having a great conversation about how you can substitute Greek yogurt when you're cooking, how you can get flavorful foods that are healthy, and I'd love to ask you, Toby, what are some of your favorite recipes from the cookbook that maybe you could share with us?
Sure. So one of the things I tried doing with the cookbook is showing the versatility of how Greek yogurt can work, that it's more than just for breakfast. So, of course, I have your traditional smoothies and I have, you know, some delicious parfaits. But I also use it, let's say, in pancakes in the batter to make more of a buttermilk type pancake without all the calories. So I have a whole grain chocolate chip pancake. And then a lot of people ask me, wait, how can chocolate chips be healthy? But I use dark chocolate chips, of course, and I only use a quarter of a cup for the entire batter, and it actually makes a nice big batch. So it really comes out, and it has some bananas in it, and it comes out really responsibly on the calories. Another one, because I know it's very hot summer, is a no-cook avocado soup with pineapple salsa.
So that's really fun, especially this time of year. And honestly, it's so simple. There are about 6 or 7 ingredients, including avocados, some low-sodium vegetable broth, of course, Greek yogurt, lemon juice, salt, and pepper. All that just gets tossed in a blender, basically, and that's your soup. And then you top it with, and there's a picture for this one. I don't know if you saw that picture. But it has a pineapple salsa to go on top of that. So it looks really pretty if you have like a glass bowl or if you're, you know, have company over. It's just really nice presentation to it. And then, I mean, I have so many in here, I can't. I'll tell my children, I said, because I always cook with my kids, I said, just choose a recipe from the cookbook and I'll make it for you. So one of my son's favorite is a mango guacamole because I like to have their snacks ready for them on the table when they get home from either school or from if they're really hungry. So it's your traditional guacamole with avocado and, you know, lime and a little chili, garlic, cilantro, Greek yogurt, of course, and then I add mango in there. And a lot of people are like, why do you need to add Greek yogurt to a guac if it's nice and creamy anyway? And the answer that I give them is the it's complementing the nutrition of the avocado. So a lot of the nutrients that the avocado has or doesn't have is found in dairy and vice versa. So it's a really nice dish that has a really good nutritional punch in it.
That was one that I actually picked out that I loved was that mango guacamole, which I want to do. And I love that you do these with your kids and really get them to pick some of their favorites because we know that if they pick it out or they go to the store and help you pick something out, they're much more likely to eat it and, you know, try it and really enjoy it.
And because I've done that, they've taken a very big interest in cooking. All of them. I have three. And because of that, now we choose all kinds of recipes, and they are very good now. Okay, when I measure the flour, I know it should be the top, and I can flatten it out with, because baking, you have to be pretty precise, with a top of a flat knife. So, and this is a 10-year-old. My 8-year-old is cracking the eggs. I mean, it takes practice. They're getting a little messy sometimes, but they're really getting dirty in the kitchen with me. We made, I think, stuffed shells. I lightened up a version. You know, I did something like that. I have a stuffed shells also with artichoke in the cookbook as well and with silken tofu just to give it a little different spin to it. But we all do it together, and it also makes for nice bonding time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I think that it's great. You know, one of the challenges is when kids move out of the house, they go away to college or they get their first apartment. If they haven't learned how to cook or learn some of the basics, they tend to rely more on fast food, takeout, or some things that are really more prepackaged, which, as we know, aren't nearly as healthy for them. So I love the fact that the more, well, it's actually good quality time. Plus, they're also learning science, math. They're learning how to read because they're learning how to read a recipe. So actually, it's great ways to build skill, too.
And life skills just to feed themselves. But my daughter yesterday, we were making, I think we made some pancake batter. And she goes to the younger one, my older one said to my older one, because I said, make sure to mix it well to get everything, all the flour from the bottom. So my 10-year-old says to me, fold it to her. She says, fold it. She already knows the terms, which for me, a lot of people don't even know what fold, you know, to just make sure like the bottom that goes to the top to fold the ingredients within the bowl together. So I was really proud of her, and I can see my hard work paying off in
That's
that respect.
Great. That's I love that. And, you know, I just, I think, I mean, I love this this book, The Greek Yogurt Kitchen. Can you share with our listeners how they can learn more about you and how they can learn more about your book and get these amazing recipes?
Sure. I have a website, Toby Amador, AMIDOR, nutrition, all one word, .com. So you can find out where my book is, more about me, sign up for a newsletter. And then it's also sold on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. So you can get, you know, pick up a copy of my book that way as well.
Perfect. And we will have a link to your website on our eatgreatlivewellradio.com page with a link to today's interview so people can go back and listen to it and also get a hold of you. And I highly recommend that everyone check this out. It'll give you a lot of great ideas. And again, I love it because there are things that you either have in the house or there are things that you can easily get at the grocery store. You don't have to run around and do a lot of specialty shopping. And again, I love the fact that you really have things that are flavorful and healthy. It really does make a big difference.
It does. And anyone who says you can't be healthy and delicious, they need to pick up a copy because you really can do it. You can live and enjoy your food and live healthfully. So
absolutely.
That's my message.
Absolutely. And I love to ask all of our guests if they can give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and their family. So what would you give them? What tip would you give them?
I'll give a cooking tip. I would say, because I know it's the beginning of the school year and everybody's looking for new meals, is to pick, not a lot, maybe two or three easy dishes that they can make for a nice weeknight meal. And so they can start practicing it and continuing to make it inside their dinner repertoire so they can make it into a habit of creating that dish more often.
I love that. And if they find ones that they really love and their family loves, I always recommend that people write the ingredients down on a 3x5 card and have a dozen or so that are kind of their quick hit recipes that the family loves, and when they're not, you know, when they go to the grocery store, make sure they've got the ingredients in the house for at least a half a dozen of them so that they always have something to pull from that the family loves, that's quick and easy, and that's fun to make together.
Mm-hmm. Even if they take a recipe they love and lighten it up a little bit, that's another thing that they can do. So if you're used to, you know, you love hamburgers, what can you do to change it to maybe find a healthier version that's similar to yours but just a little bit healthier? I mean, this is all stuff I've done before, and there's tons of recipes out there that are healthful to find. So, and studies show most people make anyway, I think 10 or 15 recipes. That's usually what they tend to do on their habit basis. So if you can change some of those recipes that you're used to doing to make them healthier, that is one step in the, you know, right direction.
Yeah. No, well, thank you very much. You've shared some great tips with us today, some great information, and I really encourage everyone to go out and get the Greek Yogurt Kitchen. And there's over 130 delicious, healthy recipes, and I love the ones for snacks too, because the grandkids are always looking for some snacks, and I know that they'll eat a lot of the things that you've shared there. So thank you so much for everything today.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I hope you enjoy my recipes.
Thank you. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices that you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week so that we can continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Share your favorite recipe. Share what questions you have. Click on our Facebook link and be part of the conversation. And let's all build a healthier relationship together with food. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.